James Bond is back, finally, after 6 years and three pandemic-related delays. No Time to Die is the 25th official 007 film. It's the fifth and last to star Daniel Craig. So is it worth the wait? We asked critic Bob Mondello.
If you've seen the trailers, you've seen some pretty spectacular stunts. Daniel Craig's Bond hurling himself off a narrow stone bridge, riding a motorcycle up a cliff-like staircase to soar over a wall, spinning his silver-gray Aston Martin in an Italian piazza while spraying machine gun fire from its headlights, all of which he does before the opening credits because, well, because he's...
Bond. James Bond.
A sadder but wiser Bond who has legacy issues to deal with in No Time to Die, not just a new story to tell, but a five-film story arc to complete, an arc that's represented in the title treatment, for reasons that later become clear, by arching strands of DNA splintering as Billie Eilish sings. We met Daniel Craig's Bond, remember, as he was just earning his license to kill, quite as if the 20 previous 007 films hadn't existed, and his next three adventures took him all the way to retirement, which is where this one picks up after the opening credits, appropriately enough, in Jamaica, where Ian Fleming wrote the Bond novels. Bond is approached by an old CIA buddy who wants help with a case, and by a gorgeous glamazon who offers him a ride home when his car won't start, then heads straight for his bedroom and removes her hair.
Well, that's not the first thing I thought you'd take off, but...
Yeah. You seem like a man who's gagging for some action.
No time to flirt? Jeez. What's going on?
I'm here as a professional courtesy.
Well, you're not very courteous, are you? 00?
2 years.
Very young.
High achiever.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The world's moved on since you retired, Commander Bond. Perhaps you didn't notice.
No, can't say I had. And in my humble opinion... the world doesn't change very much.
You would say that.
Actually, the Bond world has changed quite a bit on Craig's watch. It's less gadget-dependent, more diverse, enormously more emotional. And though Bond is still prone to making quips about what used to be called the Bond girls...
I met your new 00. She's a disarming young woman.
They're no longer just damsels in distress.
I get why you shot him.
Yeah, well... everyone tries at least once.
A script polish by Fleabag's Phoebe Waller-Bridge may be responsible for evening the gender scales a bit, as is a love interest, Léa Seydoux's Madeleine, who, in a first for the series, has been held over from the last movie.
James.
Complicatedly.
You don't know what this is.
In other respects, though, Bond is right. The more things change, the more director Cary Joji Fukunaga makes them spark and fizz like the glory days of Goldfinger and Dr. No. He's given Rami Malek's supervillain a massive island lair outfitted with a very zen-looking poison garden to relax in while taunting Bond.
We both eradicate people to make the world a better place. I just want to be a little tidier.
He's preparing to unleash what amounts to a genetically targetable virus. Talk about being of the moment. But while the film dutifully flouts its M's...
Come on, Bond, where the hell are you?
...and crosses its Q's...
Can I just have one nice evening, please, before the world explodes?
What's remarkable is the degree to which it concentrates Craig's action-crammed, close to three-hour farewell on something it's hard to imagine any of the previous Bonds even acknowledging, the terrible price he's had to pay for feeling, because Daniel Craig's Bond let himself feel, and toward the end of No Time to Die, the lump forming in your throat will be all about the bond that's let you have with Bond. I'm Bob Mondello.